90 years after the death of the illustrious American preacher, Pastor Charles T. Russell, we are prone to ask a number of searching questions. Why is it that so little is heard today of the man who captured the hearts and intellects of so many and inspired faith and hope in the message of the Bible? After all, here was someone who, by any standard, had made a stunning impact on the religious scene of his day. In 1911, the London Graphic wrote that he was reputedly the most popular preacher in America, of whom George Swetnam, the official historian for the Pittsburgh Bicentennial in 1958-1959, wrote, "Pastor Russell traveled constantly, covering more than 1,000,000 miles, by train, delivering more than 30,000 sermons and lectures. Writing books totaling over 50,000 pages, which have reached a circulation of more than 20 million copies, and of whom it was noted by the Continent, a publication often opposed to the pastor, that his syndicated writings are said to have a greater newspaper circulation every week than those of any other living man, greater, doubtless, than the combined circulation of the writings of all the priests and preachers in North America." One, how strange, then, that so little should be known today about the distinguished ministry of this figure, and that almost a blackout of information has been imposed against him. Until fairly recently, there was hardly a religious guide to churches of America that properly listed either Pastor Russell's name or the Bible student group that he founded. Further, most of the standard encyclopedias and reference works ignored him completely. Yet this was certainly not early. 1. Introduction. The case for numerous of his religious contemporaries, such as Dwight L. Moody, John N. Darby, William G. Moorhead, T. DeWitt Talmage, Henry W. Beecher, Charles G. Finney, Lyman Abbott, Billy Sunday, and a host of other well-known Christian leaders. More pointedly, we asked, why did the ministry of this one man arouse the ire and fierce opposition of almost all of Orthodox Christendom? What was it about him that caused both Catholic and Protestant leaders alike to close ranks against him? Viewing the intensity of this conflict, Professor S. A. Ellis, a Southern educator who himself was a neutral observer, declared, "Pastor Russell stands out prominently as a target for the pulpits and religious press of the country today. I believe there is no one more bitterly persecuted, harshly condemned, woefully misrepresented and misunderstood than this fearless, conscientious man of God. No infidel writer, such as Hume, Voltaire or Ingersoll, ever suffered such ruthless attacks as have been made upon Mr. Russell." 3. The details of this controversy and the full answer to the enigma raised will become evident as our story unfolds in the pages to follow. The powerful reform movement was begun, which would focus upon areas of belief and practice that were considered sacrosanct and untouchable by the established churches for many centuries. Pastor Russell would also champion the cause of end-time Bible prophecy that had stirred especially in Adventist circles. Thus he would boldly proclaim the nearness of God's millennial kingdom on earth. But such a message held no appeal for the established clergy, who generally considered it misguided, crude, and even fantastic. Moreover, in carrying out this distinctive ministry and in attempting to restore the spirit of the early Christian believers, the pastor found it necessary to oppose certain key components of what had become Orthodox Church doctrine. He considered these a part of the quasi-Christian beliefs that were not introduced until the 3rd and 4th centuries, when Christianity became fashionable to the world. During the Dark Ages, these beliefs were further developed into dogmas and given the stamp of orthodoxy by theologians and too. Introduction. Church councils. But Pastor Russell regarded such concepts as God in Trinitarian form, the immortality of the soul and eternal torture in hellfire as corruptions of the original faith that were not supported by the Bible. This amounted to a direct challenge to the authority of the established churches and, because of the pastor's widespread influence and popularity, necessitated a vigorous and united response. Such action, without here entering into the pros and cons of the issues, might be considered inevitable under the circumstances. But the disturbing aspect to every fair-minded observer is the nature of the attack that commenced against the pastor and the seemingly ruthless methods used to destroy his ministry, continuing to this very day. Later we will be describing some of the highlights in the efforts of the Orthodox clergy to oppose the teachings of Pastor Russell. They certainly had reason to be alarmed over the pastor's unrelenting attacks on their creeds and beliefs and his characterization of these as being contrary to the noble character of God and not grounded in the Word of God, the Bible. As we shall see, some attempts were made to meet the pastor's objections along scriptural and scholarly lines, even in formal public debates, but to little avail. The pastor was able to hold his ground biblically and defend the simplicity and purity of the faith of the early church which he upheld, and he continued to gain converts from the various denominations. Thus, something more had to be done by his opponents. When such straightforward attempts to meet the pastor on the issues failed, a second line of attack was adopted.